Everybody would stand up just for a moment. Come on. Everybody up just for a moment. Say hi to your neighbor. Smile. Be nice. Hey, Al. How you doing? Okay, and now it's my turn. You may be seated. You can keep smiling. Man, we just need to have a service where everybody just comes and talks for a while. Amen. I heard you, Judy. It's good to be together, isn't it? Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this great day, for the blessings of being in you. Father, thanks for hearts that care about one another. Lord, it's incredible to hear the chatter in this auditorium when we have a few moments together. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are stirred and moved and encouraged. And I want to thank you right now, Father, for our elders, for the men that you're using to lead this place, and the deacons, God, the work that they're doing. These jobs, they're not easy. I know these men love you. And they love the people here, and we know that they want your will to be done, and they want us all to be moving towards you. And Father, I pray that you'd bless them and that you would encourage them, and I pray that we would encourage them as well. Father, it's so often that we don't do the things that should be so natural, and it's just breathe encouragement. And I pray that we would be those people. But thanks for this time. Thanks for worship, and pray now that as we look into your word, that you would encourage us and draw us nearer to you. That's when our hearts are right. So draw us to you, God. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the show, the TV show, I Shouldn't Be Alive. It's usually shown on Animal Planet or the Discovery Channel, something like that. This is kind of a description. It says, the show features accounts of individuals and groups caught in dangerous scenarios, presented both through interviews and dramatic reenactments. The main focus is how the survivors survived and the decisions they made that kept them alive. And if you have watched this, it can be pretty intense. You're watching shipwrecks or people who are lost at sea, guys who will go hiking by themselves, and while they're climbing up, a boulder will roll over on their hand and they're stuck in the wilderness with nobody to help them and no way to get free, and somehow they make it. There's a family who misses a turn on their way to a funeral and ends up in this deserted area in a blizzard. I mean, the stories are intense, and they reenact this in amazing ways, and the story is called, the show is called, the program, I Shouldn't Be Alive. And maybe you've been in some of those situations yourself. I won't here admit to any of those, but maybe not for myself. But we know the feeling. If you've ever watched the show, how are they going to get out of this one? Or we've watched different dramas, and I don't know how this is going to turn out well. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work out. Well, I think that theme or that title, I Shouldn't Be Alive, is very fitting for us as Christians as well. I think the theme or the title, I Shouldn't Be Alive, is incredibly fitting for us as Christians as well. And the first thought that jumps out at me is that there's no way I should be alive spiritually for eternity. There's no way. That's crazy. You shouldn't even be able to think that thought if it weren't for Jesus on the cross, right? Listen to some of these scriptures. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I came so that they could have life. A thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it to the full. They, meaning you and me. Next scripture. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3, Jesus is in the garden praying with God before he is crucified, and this is part of his prayer that we would know him. And he says, this is eternal life. We really shouldn't be alive. And here's a great passage. I really like this one. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. One more time. First importance, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he appeared to Peter, a little too far there, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom were still living, who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. And of first importance, he says that Jesus died for us, for our sins, and according to the Scripture. Listen, I don't want to sound preachy with this, but that's amazing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Scripture tells us that. We have people backing that up. We have people who lived to see it and tell us about it. I really shouldn't be alive. That should have never happened. That shouldn't have taken place if I were the one who was needing to deserve this. But God sent his Son, not when I was worthy, or not because I was worthy, but because that he loves me. And I can't imagine the scenario if we were in one of these stories, this I shouldn't be alive drama, and you could play out all of my sin, and you could play out all of my nonsense. Just let your life roll for just a moment. Those things that you've been doing, the way that you've been talking, how are you encouraging about your brother or your sister? What do you do in your free time? How do you spend your money? What do you covet? What are you stealing? Who are you killing? Who are you always mad at? What's the grind? Play it out. Jesus hasn't died yet. Where is your life? What is your life all about? What are your wants? What really drives you? What are your motives? How is this going to happen, man? We're watching it on TV. There's no way he's getting out of this place alive. It's not going to happen. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? And then we read the scripture. Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. And I say, the show has a pleasant ending. This has a good ending. Jesus died on the cross for our sins in accordance with the scripture. There is hope. But there's always that issue, right? I mean, it never just ends there. It'd be great if the story ended there. But you know those amazing stories, they skip out to a commercial just as it seemed hope was coming, but they didn't see them, actually. They see the helicopter coming or the ships within distance in range, and they look out, and they're waving their arms, and they don't notice, and they head back to sea or head back to shore, head back to... And Jesus died on the cross for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, but it doesn't end there. That's really great. It's great that God would do more than his share for me. It's awesome that God would answer a call for me that I didn't even know that he was answering at the time. My sin would cost him his life because there's no way I could pay it. Awesome. But see, there's a response from me as well. The story doesn't end there. I shouldn't be alive. Jesus died on the cross for me. Thank you. That's powerful. But there's more to the story. When I think about that theme, and my mind's racing through it, the first one is, I shouldn't be alive because Jesus, it's just amazing that he would die for me. But the second one, this is a bit more insulting, actually. The second thing that theme makes my mind race to is, Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I shouldn't be alive. Why am I still alive? Who do I think that I am? That when he died for me, I would still be living my life. Jesus died on the cross for your sin and mine for our sin. He left us with several amazing teachings, and here is one of the most difficult. Mark 8, 34 and 35. Then he called the crowd to him. Called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." He called them all to him. And he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. It's kind of twisted, and it's sometimes difficult for us to understand. Man, it's not difficult and hard to understand, is it? Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I shouldn't be alive. Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He called me to die to myself, take up my cross. I shouldn't be alive. Why am I alive? In the time that this was spoken, it was naturally understood that when someone was going to be executed, I'll read it right here how I wrote it down. When the Roman Empire crucified a criminal or a captive, the victim was often forced to carry his cross at least part of the way. The disciples from Galilee knew what this meant when Jesus said it. When he says, take up your cross, you're going to your death. This is your cross. You are reenacting what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. And then he says, take up your cross. Take it up daily. Take your cross. Whoever saves his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's not easy, is it? I mean, we hear this stuff, and I've heard all my life. I remember my dad preaching about dying to yourself daily, and I thought, how boring is that? What in the world is that supposed to mean anyway? This is weird talk. That's strange language. And it is. I mean, unless you're living for Jesus, or unless you're not the center of your world. I mentioned a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, someone had made a snarky comment on Twitter. They said, we have found the center of the universe, and you're not it. And that's funny, but something we all need to hear fairly often. Dying daily sounds weird if you're the center of your world. But if you're someone who's come to serve and love others, you kind of understand what that comment means without even getting into Scripture. But dying dying to ourselves, I believe the words have become so cliche that we don't even hear them. Honestly, they rank right up there with the phrases, I'll be praying for you, or if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. You know, okay, whatever, slap me if I fell asleep while you're talking, I didn't even hear you. These comments, they're so meaningless. It's almost irritating sometimes to hear. I'm not trying to be rude, but is it not true? We've heard this stuff for so often and never since the follow-up, and we've said it so heartlessly that it means nothing to us. And so there's got to be something in us stirred to dying, yet why isn't it there? A.W. Tozer says, among the plastic saints of our times, Jesus has to do all the dying, and all we want to hear is another sermon about Jesus dying. Again, among the plastic saints of our times, Jesus has to do all the dying, and all we want to hear is another sermon about his dying. That's pretty accurate, right? I mean, in my better moments, I'd like the thought. And when I'm wrestling, I want to die because I know that's the right place to be. But let's face it, what's so appealing about dying anyway? It doesn't have a great ring to it, right? You're not going to use it as a catchy phrase out on the billboard or sign we've got out here to herd people in, hey, come die with us. I got a great idea. Or we're dying to know you. I mean, it just isn't that catchy, right? Among the plastic saints of our times, Jesus has to do all the dying. And all we want to hear is another sermon about Jesus dying. I mean, that warms us up, right? But that's not where it's left. Jesus says if you want to save your life, you will lose it for his sake. And so I have a couple of thoughts on why this is a wrestle for us, and then we're going to be finished today. Why is it so difficult to talk about dying? First of all, it doesn't sound like a party, so the sermon automatically seems a little boring, right? But here's the deal with dying. Number one, I'm not sure we actually know what's in the scripture. I mean, I know that some of us know, and I know that some of us know it's in the scripture, but we don't know it's in the scripture. I mean, it's a metaphor, it's something. It's just a good illustration, or maybe we're not even in the word at all. Maybe it's something we heard in a sermon sometimes, and it has no meaning or power because we've never seen, we've never looked, we've never read for ourselves that Jesus is calling for us to die. Die to ourselves. And here's what this really means in a nutshell. Jesus on the cross for our sins. He gives his life up for us. And so the call would be then for me when he says this, would be for me to give my life back to him. As long as we're doing things like, as long as we're talking about, I need to die to gossip, and we do need to die to gossip, and I need to die to lust, and we do need to die to lust, and I need to die to gambling, and we do need to die to gambling, and I need to die to pornography, and we do need to die to pornography, and I need to die to materialism, and I need to die to having everything that I want, and I need to die to having everything my way, and I need to die to the thought that I'm center of the world, and I need to die to my selfishness. And as long as we can just list them as an itemized thing, we get nowhere. Jesus says, I died for you. You die for me. I've got to quit gambling. I got to stop cussing. I need to stop smoking. No, you need to die to you. Jamie needs to die to me. Those are all just, you know, they're all a part of the big problem. I'm my problem. It isn't smoking. Yes, smoking's, it's going to kill you. Gambling, yes, gambling is really bad. Pornography, it's a mess. Gossip, it's evil. Jesus said so. But see, that's all just part of the big problem. I'm still alive. And as long as I'm alive, this stuff's going to find root in my life, or it's going to come out of my life. And so Jesus says, I died so that you could have life. You die and let me come up and live in you. And so one of the problems is, I believe, is that we don't know that's actually in the scripture. We've heard it preached, but probably we've never read it for ourselves. It's difficult when you don't see it for yourself. It's difficult enough when you do see it for yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. The intent there, one, is that you would be handling it well, but there's another, that you would actually be there and you know it says that. How do we live something when we don't know what it says and what it's about? Another issue I think that comes up here is we really, really like to have control. What's my problem with dying to myself? Well, if I stop living, who's going to make choices for me? God? Are you serious? I might become a missionary or something. I might actually go help somebody or serve. What about getting to do what I want to do? What about living the life that I want to live? What about getting to be a part of all of those things? I mean, he might ask me to go to Russia or China or Honduras or India or somewhere like that if I died to myself. Let God make my decisions? Seems a bit absurd. We love to call our own shots, and I don't mean that as in, I mean that as all of us, to me. I love to call my own shots. If I'm the center of my world, it makes zero sense for me to die. It makes no sense for me to die if I'm the center of my world. But God calls us out in this. He presses us in this because he says, if you humble yourself before me, you will be exalted. But you exalt yourself for me, before me, you will be humbled. You don't get to live life how you want to live it. One way or another, you don't get to live life how you want it. You will be called to account for it. Die to yourself now, and we can work on this, but you will die sooner or later. The other one is, I think we love ourselves so much. I mean, I really love me and what I do. I love what I get to be a part of. I love to just make my choices. And in that, because of that, I lack any experience with God making choices for me. And you can tie that with, because of that, I really have no faith that he can do it well. That's a big one. But I love myself so much that I make my decisions all the time based on what I want, what I feel, what I think, what I desire. I lack any experience of God ever making a choice for me. And because of that, I have no faith that he can make a right one or a good one. I assure you, and coming from me, this doesn't mean a lot, but you get in the Word and watch lives unfold in Jesus. You talk to neighbors and friends who God has touched and who he has healed or who he has moved, who have died to themselves, who thought their life was really good and then it was falling apart and they say, I'm through with this. This is a mess. I can't do this anymore. I'm living for me and I've got to, and they die. And they say, Jesus, you come to life, and watch the life that unfolds in them. Get in the Word and watch it. Talk to friends and neighbors who have truly given their lives to him and watch it unfold and take a risk. And you'll see life like you've never known before. And then this finish here, this last scripture I want to share with you. Therefore, I urge you, this is Paul in Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. We read about his mercy, Jesus dying on the cross, according to the scripture. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there is the death and the dying. Listen to those words again. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Die to yourself for God's sake. You'll be holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by this renewing. This stuff doesn't make any sense until you take the risk, until you lay it down. And then there's this renewing of your mind, and it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God doesn't make sense to you. Stuff in life not making any sense to you. Struggling with what in the world might be going on. You need to lay your life down. You can't perceive. You can't discern. You can't understand until he is the one living in you, because we don't have the ability to comprehend him. I really shouldn't be alive. In view of God's mercy, in view of all that he's done, looking at what he's called me to and that he's called all of us to, we really shouldn't be alive. And as we watch this great drama unfold of our lives and our sin and our struggle, our issues that for sure would cause us death, we see Jesus dying on the cross for our sin. But the rescue is not complete. The rescue is not complete. We cut to a commercial, or we cut to some other episode of something for a moment, and when we come back, we see one of us dangling because we are still hanging on to something that's only going to cause us death. And it's not the lust alone. It's not the pornography. And it's not the gossip. It's not those kinds of things. It is those kinds of things, but they come from here. And so you see the final scene coming into play of I Shouldn't Be Alive, where you, I, finally die to ourselves. We lay our lives down to Jesus, and the rescue is complete, right? There is life. There is hope. The rescue is complete. I don't know where you are today, but I know both of those scenarios are true. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You should not be alive. And because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, why are you still alive? Die. It's so worth it. Give it all up for him. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this time, and I want to thank you for all of my friends and family here today. I pray that you would encourage us as we look into this next song, as we sing this next song, as we open our hearts to you, Lord, that you would move us all here to respond to you. Father, I'm not so much thinking on this front row, but if there are folks here who need to respond like that, I pray that you would encourage them too, Lord. But I mean us, giving it up for you. You're so deserving of everything we have, God. And you're the only one that can give us real life. We praise you and we love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. One more thought. Jesus says if you would save your life, if you would lose your life, you would save it. And here's the hope in all of this story, okay? The only way that I can find life is to let this go. Everything that I have done up to the point of dying to myself is just me making a choice, and it's not very pretty. But he promises life to those who would die to themselves for him, who would give this up for him. Unless a seed will fall to the ground, it's but one seed, right? But if it falls to the ground, it grows into many seeds. Jesus is calling us to that kind of life. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This death that he's calling us to is the kind of death that really brings life. It's that crazy twist on things that while you're thinking you're living, and I'm thinking I'm living, I'm really not living at all. But when I let go of everything I'm hanging on tight to and I turn it over to him, man, I start to breathe and I start to live. We had a brother that was wrestling with some things, and he talked to us last week, and I remember talking with him here during the week, and he said, man, I haven't felt this good in a long time. I just feel free, right? I feel free. I'm alive. I can breathe. And I assure you, that's the life that God is talking about. Die to yourself so that you can live in him. Let's stand and sing.